This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11, man's first landing on the moon. Today, we reach the climax of the United States manned space program, the descent and landing on the surface of the moon by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, Jr. If all goes well in that landing, Armstrong and Aldrin will become the first men to step out onto the lunar surface. The Voice of America is beginning some 29 hours of continuous worldwide coverage of every aspect of this lunar landing. Armstrong and Aldrin have been in the lunar module Eagle for about 4 hours now, since 13 hours 50 GMT, checking out the landing craft. In about 17 minutes from now, Michael Collins, the pilot of the command ship Columbia, will fire his thrusters and undock from the LM Eagle, separating the two craft by about 40 feet or 12 meters. Apollo 11 is on the backside of the moon at the present time, now 100 hours and 2 minutes into the flight, and in its 13th orbit around the moon. This is William McCrory reporting from the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington. I'll be joined here by my co-host, Norman Guerin, and two experts from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. William Land, Apollo Missions Engineer, and Merle Waugh, Director of Program Control in NASA's Advanced Manned Missions Program. The control center for this lunar landing is the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas. Correspondent Rhett Turner will be reporting from there. So for our first status report on this lunar landing mission, let's call in Correspondent Turner in Houston.
The command module Columbia and lunar module Eagle are now in their 13th revolution of the moon, and at this point they're preparing to undock, as you heard Bill McCrory report. In 16 minutes from now, we should have acquisition of signal as the spacecraft comes around the east limb, or the east side of the moon, as we look at it from here on Earth. At that time, just at about the time that we begin to pick up a transmission from the lunar module and the command module again, then they should be undocking or separating the two spacecraft very slightly, just to back off a few feet and do what is called formation flying for about 20 minutes time. Then, within a few minutes after that, will come a separation maneuver in which the command module and the lunar module will separate a safe distance preparatory to a major rocket burn. The astronauts have been quite busy. We've heard very little communication from them throughout the morning hours. All engineering talk, all conversation between the two spacecraft in lunar orbit as they coordinate their instruments and their time clocks aboard, and also data and tracking information from the ground to update all of the systems aboard for the most accurate possible tracking and relative positioning of the two craft. That's it from Houston. We'll report more as they come into view around the moon.
From our Apollo News Center in Washington and from the main manned spacecraft center in Houston, Texas, the Voice of America is broadcasting throughout the world with continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Today, the descent and landing on the surface of the moon. Our VOA coverage will continue for approximately 29 hours through the descent of Eagle, the actual landing, the stay on the moon's surface, and the actual 2 hours and 40 minutes moonwalk by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, then the firing of the ascent engine and the journey back up to the mother spaceship Columbia for rendezvous and redocking Monday evening at about 9 hours 38 GMT. During this long broadcast, you'll be hearing from every one of our VOA coverage team. I am William McCrory at the anchor desk here at the Apollo News Center in Washington. I'll be joined during these 29 hours by VOA colleagues Norman Guerin, Albert Johnson, and Stuart Spencer. At the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, you'll hear from Rhett Turner, Edward Hickey, and James Miller. Our guest experts from NASA will be William Land, John Hammersmith, Merle Waugh, and Donald Beatty, four of the men who have played vital roles in the planning of these Apollo missions.
Astronaut Neil Armstrong gave correspondent Rhett Turner a very excellent description of just what he'll be doing during his descent to the moon's surface. The interview was recorded a short time before the flight at Houston.
Neil, would you describe that powered descent and touchdown as you trained it on Earth and as you expect to carry it out on Apollo 11?
The powered descent maneuver is very much dependent on a long series of navigation and alignment procedures prior to its actual initiation. The actual descent starts on the back side of the moon about an hour before descent. As we approach the descent orbit insertion maneuver an hour prior to descent, our concern is with making that maneuver to the greatest extent possible perfect. And what is meant by perfect at this time is to change our orbit such that it will become an orbit of 50,000 foot altitude precisely at the point where the descent maneuver is taking place about 250 miles upstream of the landing point. As we descend toward the lunar surface after DOI, we will of course be coming down. We are coming down from about 60 nautical miles at the start to about 10 or 9 nautical miles height at the ignition of the engine. During that time period, we are checking our alignment by viewing the sun's position with respect to our spacecraft and by determining our altitude above the lunar surface by time measurements of the rate of passage of landmarks underneath ourselves. As we approach ignition, we use our radar to check our relative velocity to the command module, assuring ourselves that we are the proper distance below his orbit. At ignition, we're interested in finding out where over the surface of the moon we are. Are we, in fact, at the precise geometric location that we expected to start the maneuver? We do this by looking at the surface of the moon and placing ourselves with respect to craters on the lunar surface. After ignition, we are verifying that the trajectory, its velocity, its altitude, and its cross-range position are matching the pre-flight predicted values. After about 3 minutes and 39 seconds, we check the crater Maskelyne W and make sure that we are proceeding at that point in time on the trajectory we expect with respect to the moon. At that point, at an altitude of 40,000 feet, we'll roll over and lock the radar on the surface, acquire our altitude above the surface and know that we are in fact a proper distance above the moon, continue descent down to approximately 8,000 feet, or we'll pitch over to our first view of the landing site.
How close to the surface can you burn the descent engine when you get down and those probes start to touch?
We will continue burning the engine until an altitude of only about 5 feet at which the probes will ignite a light on our panel. We see it illuminate, we cut the engine, and fall the last several feet to touchdown.
How near the surface can you get for stage and abort?
If the descent engine should stop running and we require ourselves to abort and stage, we will need to have approximately 100 feet altitude to give us sufficient time to ignite the SN engine before touching the lunar surface.
Thanks very much for describing that, Neil.
Neil Armstrong talking with Rhett Turner about the very busy period of descent and landing on the moon. Now, 100 hours and 8 minutes and 44 seconds into the mission of Apollo 11. While we're waiting for further reports from Apollo Mission Control, here are the broadcast meter bands for this worldwide broadcast of Apollo 11's lunar landing. In Europe, the 13, 16, 19, 25, 31, 41, 49, and 75 meter bands. To Africa, the 13, 16, 19, and 41 meter bands. For the Middle East, the 13 and 25 meter bands shortwave, and 238 meters medium wave. We are broadcasting to South Asia on the 13, 16, 25, and 41 meter bands. To East Asia and the Pacific on the 13, 16, 19, 25, 31, 41 meter band shortwave. For Latin America, the 13 and 16 meter bands. Now, those are the broadcast meter bands for this worldwide transmission of the flight of Apollo 11. These meter bands will change, of course, as we continue our broadcast coverage over the next 29 hours. We'll bring you these frequency changes as they occur.
We're still waiting for Apollo Mission Control. They've been very quiet. Of course, the spacecraft is out of communication, still behind the moon. We are about 6 minutes before acquiring signal. That is, at the time that they will come out from behind the moon into a path where we can pick up radio signals. At about that moment, we should get the undocking, the actual undocking, when Michael Collins fires the reaction control system thrusters. Those are the small thrusters to separate the command module Columbia from the lunar landing craft Eagle. At this point, I'd like to bring in our NASA colleagues, Bill Land and Merle Waugh, and Norm Guerin. I'll ask you to join in, too, to discuss for a few minutes while we're waiting for the spacecraft to come back from the backside of the moon, to discuss the events that we're going to hear and to follow over the next few hours. Bill Land, right after undocking and separation, what will the maneuver be?
Well, Bill, there is a small maneuver to separate the two craft, and that's done by the command module on the front side of the moon. After that, the two craft will proceed to separate a short distance apart, proceed around the front part of the moon where we're in communications with them. Final checkouts then will be conducted to ensure that the spacecraft is ready for its descent. Then it will proceed around the backside of the moon, and the lunar module at that time will light off its descent propulsion system in what we call a retrograde maneuver for a short duration burn that will then lower the orbit to 50,000 feet, just as we did on Apollo 10. However, when it comes around the front side of the moon and gets down to or approaches that 50,000-foot level near the site, and approximately 250 miles before it reaches the site, it will then start what we call a powered descent or a long-duration burn of the descent propulsion system, which will then lower the spacecraft down to the surface of the moon over that roughly 250-mile area that it traverses as the engine is burning. Now, this maneuver will take over 10 minutes, and it will proceed through two critical portions, one that we call high gate, which occurs at 7,200 feet, and at that time the spacecraft will begin to pitch downward such that the engine then gives most of its thrust upward away from the moon rather than slowing it down tangentially. Then it reaches low gate at about 500 feet, and from that point on lowers itself like
mean,
a helicopter.
Excuse me, Bill, what do you mean by low gate? I know that term will be used often during the day today. That is the lowest point before vertical descent?
Well, that's how it was selected. That's right. It's an arbitrary term, the two terms high gate and low gate. High gate is where they begin their pitch downward. You can call it pitch upward, but the spacecraft begins to become more vertical, and the descent becomes more vertical. Then at low gate, the descent is virtually vertical. That is, the spacecraft is upright and begins a straight-down descent to the lunar surface.
We're about 2 minutes away from acquisition of signal, and about that same amount of time until undocking. At this point, we should bring in correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. We'll ask him to stay with us and to interrupt at any time he gets a report that that signal is coming in from the two spacecraft. Merle Waugh, during this descent to the moon, is much of that automatically controlled, that is, the primary guidance system, the computers that's in that system, and so on?
Basically, most of the activity is automatically controlled, but at this particular time, the astronauts will be doing some fairly intense and heavy navigating through terrain which they've never really seen at close range before in order to pick out the landing area and come down.
Well, Bill Land, will there be a lot of updating of navigational equipment during this period from 50,000 feet down to what you called low gate?
From 50,000 feet on down, there won't be any updating of the navigation system per se, but there will be, as Merle pointed out, the crew will be watching it very carefully, and they'll be taking visual sightings out their window and look for landmarks that are
Apollo
familiar to them.
At 100 hours,
here is Apollo
minutes.
Mission Control.
We are now less than 2 minutes from reacquiring the spacecraft on the 13th revolution. When next we hear from them, the lunar module should be undocked from the command and service module. We're presently about 25 minutes away from the separation burn, which will be performed by Mike Collins in the command module to give the LEM and the CSM a separation distance at the descent orbit insertion maneuver of about 2 miles. We have some times on the upcoming events. The separation maneuver is scheduled to occur at a ground elapsed time of 100 hours, 39 minutes, 50 seconds. The descent orbit insertion maneuver, which will be performed on the backside of the moon, set for 101 hours, 36 minutes, 14 seconds. And the beginning of the powered descent at 102 hours, 33 minutes, 4 seconds. We're now 55 seconds from reacquiring Apollo 11 on the 13th revolution. During this revolution, we will be doing the separation maneuver. We'll also be giving the crew on the lunar module a go, no go for the descent orbit insertion maneuver. We'll stand by now to reacquire the spacecraft.
That was Mission Control Doug Ward, the voice we will hear throughout most of this afternoon's events as the press representative there giving us a running commentary for the benefit of the public listening. You'll hear a capsule communicator talking to astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin in Eagle, the lunar module. I don't think we're going to hear too much communication from Mike Collins in Columbia, the command module. We're standing by. We should have acquisition of signal now by this moment. About 23 minutes until... That was confirmation, acquisition of signal. We're now locking in, the tracking stations are locking in on the lunar module and the command module. That should be coming at any moment now. They may have undocked by now. They've been running ahead of schedule all morning in their activities. In fact, they went into the lunar module.
Hello, Eagle there. Houston, we're standing by, over.
That was Houston calling Eagle, the lunar module. The capsule communicator is astronaut Charles Duke here in Mission Control. There should be another call any moment. Armstrong and Aldrin inside the lunar module, which you'll hear called by the code name of Eagle. The two spacecraft have appeared on the east or right side of the moon as we look at it from the Earth, that lighted crescent portion.
Eagle, Houston, we see you on the steerable, over.
The steerable high-gain antenna.
Roger, Eagle, time got.
Roger, how does it look?
Eagle has wings.
Roger.
That was Armstrong saying.
Roger, Neil, we got a, if you'll give us poo and data, we got the loads for you.
Astronaut Neil Armstrong said, Roger, Eagle has undocked.
Roger, you got it.
Poo and data. Roger, let us know when you're ready to copy. We have a DOI pad and a PDI pad, over.
descent orbit insertion information and power descent information to be read up to them. Engineering figures ready to be delivered from the mission control. That was Armstrong. Didn't quite catch that remark. He has a very soft voice. He's now obviously reaching for a pencil and paper.
Okay, I'm ready to start my yaw maneuver, if that suits you, Mike.
Armstrong says he's ready to start his yaw maneuver, and he's saying this to Mike Collins. What he is doing now, having undocked, he is about to turn the spacecraft around so that Mike Collins in the command module in Columbia can look at all parts of the lunar module and make sure everything looks okay. This is part of the inspection procedure to be carried out. The command module pilot, looking out his windows, looks over all of the external parts of the lunar module to make sure everything seems in order before the two spacecraft back very far apart. They're only 15 or 20 meters apart at the most here now during this yaw maneuver and this rotation.
Be able to do this without
firing
thrusters, Mike?
That was Armstrong with another communication to Mike Collins. He says, does it look like you're going to be able to do something there?
Houston, Eagle is ready to copy.
Roger, Eagle, coming at you with a DOI pad.
That was Aldrin.
01-36-1407-981-0.
Now, these are the engineering figures, or the pad as it's called, the information to be used in the guidance and navigation system by the lunar module. You heard Buzz Aldrin said, okay, Houston, ready to copy. And now you're listening to Charlie Duke, the capsule communicator, as he is reading this pad, as it's called, up to Buzz Aldrin. This tells him times and amounts of burn to program into the computer for the next maneuvers. These pads usually take 3 or 4 minutes apiece. We hear a great amount of these missions taken up in the verbal transformation or transferring of this information from the ground up to the relative spacecraft. You'll hear pads also going to the command module as well as to the lunar module. That was the DOI, or descent orbit insertion pad. Let's listen to Aldrin.
I understand you're ready to copy the PDI data, Eagle, over.
That's permanent. Go ahead with the PDI.
All right. Buzz Aldrin has now acknowledged that he's ready to copy the power descent insertion figures.
0436-0950-0002-1-182-2.
Now it will take just about the same length of time for this pad information to be written down by Buzz Aldrin and then confirmed back to Charlie Duke. We had an interesting conversation a few days ago with the Chief Flight Dynamics Officer, Phil Schaffer, in which he explained in great detail why these pads are necessary. They are at pilot's discretion. All of this information is fed electronically into the computers on board the spacecraft, but the astronauts themselves like to have the information also handed to them verbally from the Earth so that they can double-check the mechanisms, the instruments on board. And each astronaut crew has different preferences as to how much of this pad information that it prefers. This particular crew, the Apollo 11 crew, are very serious engineers and pilots, and they want to get it all. Let's listen to the rest of this.
1-889-0-1520 plus 0-0-1-1-0-0-2-2-5-0. Burn time 0-4-6-0-0-0.
It takes a lot of work in Mission Control to prepare this manually and to have it written down in chart form for the capsule communicator to read up. So the boys in the trench, as it's called, the front row of the Mission Control Center, do a lot of extra work for each mission, and they have a whole pad of blanks. Use of the pad, the word pad, in a different way here. Blank pieces of paper with all of these lines and bits of data indicated for filling in blank spaces there. And then every time one of these pads is passed up to the astronauts, the men in the front row, the flight dynamics officers, have very carefully filled all of these out manually by hand, and they're passed back to the capsule communicator to read up. Let's...
Computer, you can go back to block, over.
Roger, back to block, and DOI, 101-36-1407.
This is Aldrin.
Minus 00758, plus all zeros, plus 00098.
That was Aldrin reading back parts of the pad. This has to be, of course, confirmed back to Earth to make sure that he got all the figures right. It's a lot of work, and as Phil Schaffer says, God bless those pads. They're a lot of work, and they give the crew a lot more confidence in all of the navigation information they have on board the spacecraft.
00090. NA, over.
That was a good read back, Buzz. So go ahead, over.
Buzz Aldrin reading back these figures.
Okay, PDI pad, 102-33-0436.
He's reading back both the descent orbit insertion figures and now the PDI, or powered descent insertion figures, to Charlie Duke in Mission Control listening. Buzz Aldrin in Eagle, the lunar module, as they are just a few meters away from the command module. We heard that Neil Armstrong indicate a few moments ago that he is putting the spacecraft into its yaw maneuver so that Mike Collins in Columbia, the mother ship, can very carefully inspect the lunar module as it rotates in front of him. They're just a few meters apart, undocked, preparing for the next parts of this mission, which would be a larger separation maneuver. Expected to come in about 14 minutes from now, 13 to 14 minutes from now.
00110.
He's about to get to the end of that.
02-250-046-000190.
This is coming through the high-gain steerable antenna on board the lunar module, the one of the two dishes mounted on the spacecraft. This one over on the right or starboard side of the spacecraft as you look at it from the front. This one pointed toward the Earth, giving this very clear signal.
0-0-1-0-5-1-2-3-0-0-0. Over.
Roger. Good read back, Buzz. Out.
Takes 4 seconds for communications to come up and then come back, so these pauses result. Charlie Duke said, good read back, Buzz, out, meaning it's now over to you if you want to say something to us. It takes about 2 seconds for his voice to go up to the moon, and then about another 2 seconds after Aldrin begins transmitting back, if he should do so. Well, it appears they're not going to say anything at that point. They're going to other duties.
We are about 11 minutes away, and you can check this, if you will, with your clocks, Rhett Turner, from... the separation, firing again, this of the thrusters, that would be on the command module, and would also be on the lunar module Eagle, would it not?
In 11 minutes, they start the burn, don't they, for descent orbit?
No, the burn that comes up in 11 minutes is a very short duration burn by the RCS thrusters on the command module to separate the command module from the LEM, just a very short distance.
Okay. That's right.
Do they do some formation flying in this period until the descent maneuver?
Right now, they're in formation flying and doing an inspection of the LEM by the command module pilot. However, as soon as they initiate the separation maneuver, it will no longer be formation. Then they'll be separating.
And we're about 2 hours and 15 minutes from touchdown on the surface of the moon. And this is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. This program is originating in Washington. We will return to our live Voice of America coverage of the mission of Apollo 11 following this report of Late World News.
Millions of people all over the world will be following, by radio and television, Monday's moonwalk by astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin. The Voice of America estimates its radio audience as the greatest of all time, perhaps 500 million people listening to reports in 36 languages. The television transmission from the moon will not start until some hours after the landing, when the moonwalk begins. The touchdown itself will not be seen. The telecast from the moon, which will be in black and white only, is scheduled to begin with astronaut Armstrong descending a ladder to the moon's surface. Armstrong then will set the camera on a tripod to televise the astronauts' activities on the moon. President Nixon joined in prayers for the success of America's astronauts on the moon at White House church services Sunday. VOA correspondent Robert Sturdivant has that report.
Colonel Frank Borman read some verses from Genesis, just as he did over the airwaves last Christmas Eve, as he and his colleagues traveled in the vicinity of the moon in Apollo 10. Colonel Borman has been with Mr. Nixon since the launching of Apollo 11, giving the president the benefit of his first-hand experiences. The sermon was delivered by a Quaker, Dr. Paul C. Smith, president of Whittier College, where Mr. Nixon went to school. Robert Sturdivant, Voice of America, the White House.
Egyptian and Israeli planes crossed the ceasefire line this afternoon to bombard each other's missile and gun positions and radar stations on the two sides of the Suez Canal. Egypt says 13 Israeli planes have been downed in aerial dogfights and by ground fire along various sectors of the waterway. Israel reports 5 Egyptian planes shot down and the loss of 2 of its own. As of last report, heavy ground action between Israeli and Egyptian positions was continuing. It is not yet known if United Nations truce observers have been successful in bringing about a ceasefire. Sunday's major Suez Canal fighting followed a pre-dawn Israeli landing raid on the Egyptian fortified island of Qadra in northern Gulf of Suez. Both sides claim they inflicted heavy casualties on the other. Israel said 6 of its men were killed in the hand-to-hand engagements. Egypt said it lost 6 men in killed or wounded. America's top military leader, General Earl Wheeler, says he does not believe that the current lull in the Vietnam War is a political move by the communists. General Wheeler was speaking to newsmen in Saigon at the end of a 4-day tour of the battle zone. He described the current lull as cyclic and said there have been periods of limited fighting in the past, only to be followed by new communist offensives. The stage is set in Algiers for Monday's opening of the first Pan-African Cultural Festival. Writers, artists, and officials from all over the continent will get together to review current developments as well as the heritage and thrust of Africa's culture. Here is Voice of America correspondent Sean Kelly with this report from the Algerian capital.
The festival is being sponsored by the Organization of African Unity, and it is scheduled to last through August 1st, when prizes will be awarded for the best performances in the fields of music, dance, and the theater. Delegations have arrived here from the far corners of this continent. Their object is to discuss Africa's cultural background and its role in present-day development. There will be singing and dancing between the discussions. This is Sean Kelly, Voice of America, at the Pan-African Cultural Festival in Algiers.
The Jandrell Bank Observatory in Britain has reported that the Soviet spacecraft Luna 15 has moved into an orbit much closer to the lunar surface. The observatory director, Sir Bernard Lovell, said he suspects the changed orbit means either one of two things, that Luna 15 is preparing to land, or that it is on a reconnaissance mission to observe Apollo 11. The observatory reported that Luna's new path takes it only about 32 kilometers above the moon's surface at the closest point. A spokesman at the observatory said the new Luna orbit brings it nearer the moon's equator and somewhat nearer the Apollo orbit. But, he said, the two crafts are still a long distance apart. Havana, Cuba, today welcomed a small Soviet naval task force of 7 ships, the first time such Soviet war vessels have anchored on the island. The event was covered extensively by Cuban radio and television, and thousands of Cubans gathered along the waterfront to witness the arrival of the flotilla. The Soviet crew will join celebrations marking the beginning of the Cuban Revolution that brought Premier Fidel Castro to power. Norwegian explorer Thor Heyerdahl says the voyage of his papyrus boat Ra showed him and his crew from many nations the strength of the underlying brotherhood of man. Mr. Heyerdahl made the statement in a message radioed to UN Secretary General U Thant to thank him for permission to fly the United Nations flag. The attempt to cross the Atlantic on the Ra was abandoned Friday when sharks made repairs impossible. Mr. Heyerdahl and his 6-man crew are en route to Barbados aboard an escort vessel. Reuters reports that a Canadian civil servant will go on trial in the Czechoslovak town of Usti on the river Elba tomorrow on charges of spying for an unnamed third country. The dispatch said Czechoslovak-born Rudolf Halota, who emigrated in 1951, was arrested last January when he returned to visit relatives. No details of the charges against him have been disclosed. Reuters noted that under Czechoslovak law, Mr. Halota is still regarded as a Czechoslovak citizen. That's the news from the Voice of America newsroom. This is Jack Moyles reporting.
And from our Apollo News Center in Washington and from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, the Voice of America is broadcasting throughout the world with continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Today, the descent and landing on the surface of the moon. We're now some 100 hours and 37 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11. We had separation about 20 minutes ago. The command module, now called Columbia, separated from the lunar module Eagle, beginning the final critical phase of the moon landing by astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin. Astronaut Collins is remaining in the command ship, orbiting the moon, and is inspecting the outside of the lunar module by visual means. This he has already done. A short time ago, we had a go decision for separation. That is, the separation of the two craft, the firing of the reaction control system thrusters, separating up to about 4 kilometers, I believe, in that first action. Now, let's go to the Manned Spacecraft Center for a status report and correspondent Rhett Turner.
The separation maneuver, 1 minute and 50 seconds from now. We heard just a bit of an exchange of conversation between Mike Collins and Neil Armstrong. Armstrong said that was some maneuver there as they were turning the relative positions of the spacecraft slightly. The astronauts are very serious. They don't talk too much. They go about their own business inside those spacecraft, and we don't hear much here on the ground. They're very busy and quite keyed up. We can tell that they're in good shape, very serious, and with no problems so far. In fact, they're almost ahead of schedule in all of the things they've done thus far today. Bill? 1 minute now until that separation maneuver by the command module.
We're standing by.
Here's
with Apollo Mission Control.
See you later.
That word from Collins to Neil Armstrong in the Eagle spacecraft, the lunar module. They're very quick and succinct. If we hear one of them start speaking, I will try to stop talking very, very quickly because they don't say much.
Who does the firing?
The command module.
Command module, Michael yes. Collins.
About 8 seconds on the RCS thrusters.
There will be no firing of the Eagle's engine until they are ready for that big descent fire. Is that correct?
That comes, yes. That's descent orbit insertion just yes. under an hour from now.
Merle
Walker. That will
and
occur
yes,
behind
and,
the moon.
That's about an hour from now. Is that correct, Bill?
That's right, Merle.
Yeah.
Now we have zero. There we should have the maneuver. Thrusting, Mike Collins said. We'll stand by for anything else he transmits. Should have completed it by now.
Michael Collins is a very busy man alone in that command module at the present time.
One pilot in a three-man spacecraft.
District Columbia, my disk is reading 4.9. And X, 5.0 make it. And EMS, 105.4, over.
Roger, copy. Columbia looks good to us, over.
That was Mike Collins reporting on his burn of the RCS thrusters. Bill Land, what does he mean when he said the X is 5, the EMS is 105.4? What's he talking about there?
Well, he was talking about his onboard navigation systems and how they compare and how they compare with the ground data, so that what he's telling us now is that he's ready to go. Everything is checking out.
That's about the longest report we've had. Last few minutes.
I think you're right a minute ago when you said they're very succinct. And
Columbia, Houston, we'd like you to terminate average fee, over.
That instruction going up from the ground, that was Charlie Duke. Colin said, Roger Wilco. Another one of those succinct remarks.
About 2 hours now from touchdown on the moon at approximately 20 hours, 16 Greenwich Mean Time, if all goes according to plan.
This backs the two spacecraft off between 1 and 2 kilometers apart. And from that point, the lunar module, in 55 minutes from now, will fire its main rocket engine, the descent engine, and what is called the DOI burn. This will occur as they are behind the moon, away from contact with the Earth. At the moment, the two spacecraft drifting apart there, up to some 1 to 2 kilometers apart. They're passing across the face of the moon as we view it from Earth, right along the lunar equator.
This is Apollo Control. That separation maneuver was performed as scheduled, giving the command module a delta V of about 2.5 feet per second. Which should give a separation to the two vehicles of about 1,100 feet at the beginning of the descent orbit insertion maneuver.
Roughly 2 kilometers. This delta velocity of 2.5 feet per second means that the command module is now backing off at just under 1 meter per second away from the lunar module, Eagle.
Why are we delaying
that? Down US-1, Mike.
Why is there a one-hour delay?
That was an interesting thing. Let's, Bill, that was an interesting remark by Neil Armstrong there. He said, we're going right down US-1, Mike. This is one of those very important lunar landmark features below them. In other words, they're going right over the landing area. Pardon my interruption. I thought
we might explain that is a kind of a ridge or rill there in the lunar surface. It actually looks as if it might be a road from the pictures that we've seen.
It's directly to the south, not more than about 5 kilometers to the south of the actual touchdown spot. That means they have just passed over the landing area, the footprint, as it's called.
How much of a change in the orbit will this make, this firing a few minutes ago, Bill Lyon?
Bill, this makes a very small change. The current orbit would be approximately 55.5 nautical miles by 63 nautical miles. That's very little different from what we were in before. I might add here, though, that the important feature of this separation maneuver is to get a sufficient distance between the two spacecraft such that they can check out their rendezvous radar and their ranging capability from the command and service modules that they will need for the rendezvous after ascent from the lunar surface. They do this very early in the separation, after separation, so that they can get a go then for the final or for the descent orbit insertion maneuver.
Is an extra hour needed now until the time of firing the lunar module's big engine, the descent engine, to check it out and also for navigational problems? Or could it be fired within the next few minutes or so? Theoretically speaking, of course. Who wants to answer that one?
I would say now.
Depends on where you want to land, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the point, I guess.
In order to land where they have been planning to land now, they have to wait until they recycle for another orbit, until they're in the right position for this particular retrofire. So this apparently was done to allow them enough time to check everything out and be sure everything was ready for this critical firing.
It gives them a cushion, in other words. And as you say, it's largely for navigational purposes to land where they want to land, and
the important part of
the orbital mechanics of this.
The important part of DOI, the descent orbit burn back there on the other side of the moon, is to lower the paracentian as the spacecraft comes around on this side, to lower it from some 111 kilometers down to about 50,000 feet. That's how many kilometers is that?
About
that's some seven.
Roughly 15.
In other words, to reduce the paracentian from 111 kilometers down to about 15 kilometers above the surface as they come near that landing spot. At that point, they will begin powering the rocket engine again, the descent engine again, right down to touchdown. It utilizes, as you said, Bill, the orbital mechanics of heavy craft in orbit in order to get the craft down low without using up a lot of rocket power.
Well, isn't this a great loping orbit, a tremendously elliptical orbit with this low point of about 15 kilometers and your normal high point of about 110 or 111 kilometers, this tremendous loop?
Yes, Bill, it is. It by lowering, as Rhett mentioned, by lowering the paracentian to 15 kilometers, it does give it an egg-shaped orbit about the moon.
A very flat egg.
That's right.
I think it's important to remember, though, that this has already been done once. They still have not reached a point where they are adventuring off from anything different than they did on Apollo, on the previous Apollo.
That was Mike Collins asking Eagle if he'd like him
Roger,
to switch
let's
over.
Go to VHF ranging now.
That's Aldrin. Collins asked if you'd like me to switch over to VHF ranging. This is a method by which the two spacecraft keep track of each other through VHF, very high frequency radio signals. Aldrin responded, Roger, let's go to VHF ranging now. That was the one quick response from Eagle, Buzz Aldrin there, the lunar module pilot.
He is actually at the controls.
Another call from Collins.
I'm reading you loud and scratchy. Neil's not coming through too well in his box. Could you stay quiet for 15 seconds while I get this locked on?
In other words, Neil Armstrong's transmission to Collins is rather scratchy. We don't hear it coming back to Earth here. This is radio communication directly between the two on VHF, or very high frequency radio up there between the two spacecraft. We can only hear the two when they also transmit on the S-band, high-gain antennas back to Earth.
Solid lock on, I have you, 0.27 miles.
0.27 nautical miles, that's about 5 kilometers distance now.
At this point, you would say that the two spacecraft, Eagle and Columbia, are what we call station keeping. That is...
They're not station keeping at this point. They're actually continuing to separate.
They have not finished this first separation.
This separation.
Eagle, Houston, we got a state vector for you. We'd like poo and date, over.
Information to the lunar module from the ground.
You have it.
Thank you, sir.
They're updating, they're electronically feeding information into the lunar module computer now.
Well, the maximum separation will be only about 3 or 4 kilometers, and I'll ask my colleagues
Columbia,
to correct
Houston, me. We have a CSM rescue pad if you're ready to copy, over.
Now, this information going to Eagle.
Ready to copy.
Right, Mike.
To Mike.
Phasing TIG.
Columbia.
103-40.
Now, this is information, another one of these pads, going from Mission Control Center to the command module to Mike Collins. This is telling him some guidance information to have ready in his computer if he needs it to rescue the lunar module. This is according to the projected differences in the flight path of the two vehicles after this last small burn. Every time a rocket is burned, every time the thrusters are fired on either of the craft, it varies the flight path just enough for an update of this sort of thing, this rescue maneuver information to be necessary.
Well, that's what he meant by the CSM rescue pad.
That's right. CSM rescue pad.
Merle Waugh?
Bill, regarding the distance apart, now they are moving apart at a steady rate of about 2.5 feet per second. So at different times, they will be gradually farther and farther apart until the at the time for the descent
the
orbit insertion firing, yes. They're supposed to be about, what, here it says 2.2 nautical miles, which
about
is
4 to 5 kilometers.
Kilometers.
That's right, and the way they burned would bring them back together again on this side of the moon
Eagle
at the
Houston,
same point.
When you're ready to copy, I have a lunar surface data pad for you, over.
Roger, stand by.
We got the load in, Eagle. You can go back, update a link off, over.
More communications.
And that was the ground saying we got the update into Eagle, some
Roger.
More information into the Eagle computer, the lunar module computer. We heard Aldrin acknowledge Roger.
We've got to become accustomed again to using names such as Eagle and Columbia, since we have two craft operating separately up there now.
I guess we should explain again that Eagle is the lunar module and Columbia is the command module. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin in Eagle, and Mike Collins in the spacecraft Columbia. We had that first report a moment ago from Mike Collins of his ranging, his VHF ranging. He said that he was 2.7 miles from Eagle. That's 4.8, that's almost 5 kilometers away, going through this mini football, which we described in Apollo 9 and Apollo 10. Should we go into that?
Columbia, Houston, at your convenience, we'd like poo and accept. We have a couple of state vectors for you, over.
Merle Waugh, you
this
had a
this football maneuver, which will bring them back.
Poo and accept, and I just got some unexplained roll thruster activity. I might have bumped the hand controller.
Roger. We'll look at it out.
He said some unexplained roll activity.
And Eagle is ready to copy lunar surface data card.
Roger, Buzz. Starting with the T2, T2 TIG, 102.
Some more information going to Eagle. That was Buzz Aldrin a moment ago who said he got some unexplained roll motion in the lunar module spacecraft.
Merle, you had a comment.
Yeah, I had a comment that transmission that we heard a few minutes ago, I thought it said it was 0.27 nautical miles rather than 2.7.
Did he say 0.27?
Yeah, I believe
corrected.
That's what it was. Yeah.
0000. Any remarks? T2 occurs at PDI plus 2126.
No.
T3 time. Correction, T3. T3 TIG.
Now 100 hours and 54 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11.
13 minutes now until the separation maneuver. I beg your pardon, until the ignition time of the next event here, according to our countdown clock. What is that reading? Let's see, 14 minutes and 6 seconds. No, it's much more than that until DOI.
Yes, I think we have at least about 35 minutes before we fire the
Scratch ascent that engine. Remark. Scratch that remark. I'm yes. reading a signal from a monitor that I shouldn't be reading from. 34 minutes until we lose signal from the two spacecraft as they go past the moon.
5-4-2-9-0-0-1-0-3-5-1-5-6-0-0.
That's Buzz Aldrin reading back that information just passed up to him from Charlie Duke here in Mission Control. 33 minutes, 55 seconds until loss of signal. They have some 1.5 hours during each revolution of the moon in which we can communicate with them, and then about 30 to 40 minutes during each revolution when they're behind the moon and we're out of touch. The major maneuver to start the Eagle lunar module lowering or descending to the surface, down near the surface, begins behind the moon in about 40 minutes from right now, about 40 minutes.
This drifting apart is a rather slow process, isn't it, this first separation?
That's right, Bill. As Merle pointed out a few minutes ago, it's only 2.5 feet per second that they're moving apart. So that is a very slow separation. What I started to say a few minutes ago was that they'll reach their furthest separation on the back side of the moon, just opposite the point on this side where they initiated the separation. And if they were to go by the descent orbit insertion maneuver without conducting that maneuver, they would recontact each other on this side of the moon again, just at the point where they initially separated.
Mike Collins just asked if you'd put your tracking light on, please, and we heard an answer from Neil Armstrong that it's on, Mike. That's what that last comment was.
Recapping, we've had successful undocking, and we're in the midst of the separation maneuver of the two craft.
Columbia, Houston, we got the load in. You can go back to block. Over.
Is that for Columbia?
That's affirmative, Columbia.
Some 35 minutes away from the firing of that big descent engine on Eagle, the lunar module.
Now, that last comment from the Earth up to Columbia, the command module, was we've got the load in, Mike. That means we've got the computer loaded with the information we were trying to send to it just a moment ago. You can take control of it again. And Mike says, is that for Columbia? The ground said, Roger. He said, okay, thank you. We got it. Now he has control of the computer again. Every now and then, you will hear the ground, Mission Control, asking for access to the computer, electronic access, in order to feed information into it from the Earth. The load, as it's called.
Listeners in Europe who are tuned to 379 meters medium wave should switch to 15205-11760 or 9760 kilocycles shortwave.
This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11.